Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to church this morning. My name is Audrey Wiseman. My husband and I have been members of the First Unitarian Church for 56 years. In the pulpit this morning, we have Stacy Wolf, wife of Mark Wolf and mother of Freya and Irwin. You're invited to stay following this worship service for fellowship, conversation, and refreshments in our fellowship hall, the Kate Worker Room, just through these doors behind me. If you're a newcomer this morning, we extend to you a special welcome and hope that if this is your first visit, you'll consider entering your name on one of the visitor's cards that can be found in the back of your hymnal and placing the card in the offering plate and handing it to the usher. If you'll do that, we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about all the programs and activities going on here at the church. If you would like to learn more about the church and about Unitarian Universalism, please visit the information displays in our fellowship hall, where there are pamphlets, newsletters, and other visitor information that you are certainly welcome to take home with you. And now, I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially the ones you don't know yet. Okay. I draw your attention to the announcements in your order of service. We hope you'll keep these things in mind as you plan your upcoming week. I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any joys, milestones, or concerns you may bring with you to church this morning.
Hi, my name is Eric Johnson, and I have a brief announcement. If all the kids would follow me, Pied Piper style, over to the religious education, we're going to do Buddhism today, and we're making prayer flags, so lots of fun. So, kids, come on down.
Can I join you?
That's right, for the inner child.
Wait.
Hi. Good morning, I'm Cindy. I just have to share a joy. Since 13, I have been was separated from sisters. In July 4th, two of my sisters who live in California found me. It's been 40 years. 40 years.
Okay. The prelude begins our worship service. Freya and her sister Ilwin will light our chalice. Come around here. The call to worship words this morning are called An Unfailing Treasure, Wisdom of Solomon. I called on God, and the spirit of wisdom came to me. I preferred her to scepters and thrones, and I counted wealth as nothing in comparison with her. Neither did I liken to her any priceless gem, because all gold is but a little sand in her sight, and silver would be accounted as clay before her. I loved her more than health and beauty, and I chose to have her rather than light, because her radiance never ceases. All good things come to me along with her, and in her hands, uncounted wealth. I rejoiced in them all because wisdom leads them, but I did not know that she was their mother. I learned without guile, and I impart without grudging. I do not hide her wealth, for it is an unfailing treasure for mortals. And this is in the back of your hymnal, if you ever want to read it. It's 644. Our first hymn number is 327, Joy Thou Goddess. Rise as you are able. Responsive reading this morning, please join in it, and it's number 657, found in the back of your hymnal. It is entitled, It Matters What We Believe, and it is from Sophia Foss. Some beliefs are like walled gardens. They encourage exclusiveness and the feeling of our being especially privileged.
Other beliefs are expansive and lead the way into wider and deeper sympathies.
Some beliefs are like shadows, clouding children's days with fears of unknown calamities.
Other beliefs are like sunshine, blessing children with their warmth of happiness.
Some beliefs are divisive, separating the saved from the unsaved, friends from enemies.
Other beliefs are bonds in a world community where sincere differences beautify the pattern.
Some beliefs are like blinders, shutting off the power to choose one's own direction.
Other beliefs are like gateways, opening wide vistas for exploration.
Some beliefs weaken a person's selfhood. They blight the growth of resourcefulness.
Other beliefs nurture self-confidence and enrich the feeling of personal worth.
Some beliefs are rigid, like the body of death, impotent in a changing world.
Other beliefs are pliable, like the young sapling, ever growing with the upward thrust of life.
Let there be an offering to sustain and strengthen this place, which is sacred to so many of us, a community of memory and of hope, for we are now the keepers of the dream. That was by Brandon L. Lovely. The following reading is an excerpt from a work by Sue Monk Kidd titled The Dance of the Dissident Daughter, A Woman's Journey from Christian Tradition to the Sacred Feminine. A young girl at church learns Bible stories in which vital women are generally absent in the background or devoid of power. She learns that men go on quests, encounter God, and change history, while women support and wait for them. She hears sermons where traditional, non-threatening feminine roles are lifted up as God's ideal. A girl is likely to see only a few women in the higher echelons of church power. And what does a girl who is forming her identity do with all the scriptures admonishing women to submission and silence? Having them explained away as the product of an ancient time does not entirely erase her unease. She also experiences herself missing from pronouns in scripture, hymns, and prayers. And most of all, as long as God himself is exclusively male, she will experience the otherness, the lessness of herself. All the pious talk in the world about females being equal to males will fail to compute in the deeper places inside her. As a girl absorbs her culture, for instance, as she watches movies and television, she may also come to understand that her real importance derives from her relationship with men and boys, by how good she looks for them or how well she takes care of them. She will notice that things traditionally assigned to women, keeping a home, cleaning, cooking, laundry, child rearing, and grow aware of how little value these themes to have in the world compared to things typically do. When she grows up and enters the workplace, she will likely plunge into the staggering dilemma that is often hers alone, working while caring for children and keeping a house. She'll likely encounter ceilings, networks, and traditional assumptions that work against her as a woman. She will arrive at the disconcerting realization that success comes only as she learns to modulate and accept her feminine self to a man's world. If she sees few women in places of real power, hears few female voices of strength, and witnesses little female creativity, then despite what is said to her about women's equality, she experiences women and herself as absent and silent. The feminine wound is created as we internalize all of these experiences, the voices we hear at church, school, home, work, and within the culture at large, suggesting in ways both bold and subtle that women and feminine experiences are less than.
Hello. Thank you, Audrey. Thank you so much. Audrey always puts so much of her soul into everything she does. I always love that about her. It means a great deal to me. She is one of the many women who, like a grandmother or a mother, truly encouraged me on my spiritual journey here at First Unitarian Church. It's very fitting that she was the person to help me today with what I'm celebrating. It is in this spirit that we come together in prayer and meditation this morning, calling upon the feminine divine spirit, the mother of us all. This is adapted from Hildegard of Bingen. Fire of the spirit, life of the lives of creatures, spiral of sanctity, bond of all natures, glow of charity, lights of clarity, taste of sweetness to the fallen, be with us and hear us. Composer of all things, joy in the glory, strong honor, be with us and hear us.
Asherah, mother of life, bring us peace and end our strife.
I want to share a story with you today, because of two books that I read recently. They're right here. The first was recommended by an old musician friend and UU lay leader from Lafayette, Indiana. Her name's Denise Wilson. And that book was written by Sue Monk Kidd. It's this one right here, titled Dance of the Dissident Daughter, A Woman's Journey from Traditional Christianity to the Sacred Feminine. Our reading today came from that book, too. Her work is a look at the stages that women go through on their path to the sacred feminine. Although Kidd is a Christian, and I have personally chosen paganism, our paths have such similarity that I recognize the unmistakable unity of the sacred feminine at work in our lives. In Kidd's work, she tells the story of her awakening to the sacred feminine and the stages she went through to reach what she terms her feminine soul, and ultimately her own personal empowerment as a woman. In keeping with the trope of this work, I will share with you my own experiences as an awakened woman. The first moments when I realized that the world wasn't equal for women, and when I realized that in order to be fully equal in this world, I needed a religion that provided examples of feminine leadership and power. The second work that I recently read was written by William G. Deaver, titled, Did God Have a Wife? Archaeology and Folk Religions in Ancient Israel. It's this book right here. This work is a look at archaeological research carried out over the last 30 years or more that provides evidence of the ancient Israelite wife of God, Ashura. This work is significant to my path because, for me, it provides a firm premise for my argument that the goddess is a relatively recent edit from our lives as religious people, and that this edit leaves a void in the souls of women and men. And for myself, folk religions are a window through which I have found examples of the sacred feminine. Archaeological studies show how ancient women worshipped and why. Knowledge of the goddesses of long ago and the worship practices of the women who followed them is inspirational in my life. It gives me permission to follow my gut-level instincts that the goddess is there for all of us. Even if we try to edit her out of our lives, she returns. Kid's message inspires me to believe that women have a place in this world. They are not secondary in life, and women have touched us all in some way. We all had a woman as a mother, a sister, a daughter, or friend. Women can eventually be equal to men. Through acknowledgement of the feminine sacred, women have opened the doorway to real sexual equality. Sexual equality from the level of religion on down is an ultimate social balancing empowerment for women. In our lives, all of us have beginnings. It is funny how life places doorways before us at important junctions in our lives. Sometimes our doors are obvious, but other times we don't really realize we opened a doorway until we're through it, and only years later do we realize the significance. For years, I spent time dusting the doormat before my own doorway, planting flowers, putting out the welcome sign, inviting visitors to open the door and join me. Sometimes people tried the doorknob, walked in, and stayed. They saw a home unfold before them and seemed to enjoy the rituals that had become my daily life. Others tried the doorknob. The door swung open, and all the person saw was a closet full of dusty old boxes. These boxes contain the remnants of what Kid refers to in her work as feminine wounds. One such box contains my first childhood memories of Christian Sunday school lessons. The lessons I learned from the book of Timothy reside in that box. Let a woman learn in silence with all submissiveness. I permit no woman to teach or to have authority over men. She is to keep silent. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, if you care to look that one up. It's different in different versions of the Bible. In another dusty box, right next to that one, is the silence I kept. Even though that biblical passage disturbed me, I learned from Kid's book that many women experience this exact thing. Girls become afraid to mention their feelings regarding this and other anti-female passages in the Bible because they are afraid their family will not love them anymore. This is the beginning of the feminine wound. For some women, the experience in Sunday school is enough to awaken them. Others become blind to the message and go along with it out of habit or concern for safety. Personally, through my own long simmering anger, I learned to ignore not only this passage, but eventually the Bible itself. I came to the conclusion that Judeo-Christianity is not good for me, or more importantly, not good for women. Eventually, I took this concept further and began to understand that something that is not good for women isn't probably good for men either. The book I perceived is flawed, and therefore not, perhaps, the holy work many have taken it to be. Kids' experience differs from mine somewhat in that she's trying to reclaim the feminine divine within the framework of Christianity. There is a possibility that this could work. It's a bit like pruning an old tree, reshaping it after it has had centuries of growth in a contorted direction. For me, I chose to plant a new tree, caring for it and shaping it properly from the start. Sort of a shortcut, I guess. For the women who awaken, the real work is yet to come. Awakening is merely the moment when we unpack our anger. We cease to shove that dusty box back up onto the shelf in our closet. Instead, we open the box. We savor it. We acknowledge our feelings. And we finally say, okay, now what? You see, once we face the feelings, the box grows and it no longer fits on the shelf. It has its way of following us around, urging us toward action. What it is trying to tell us is there needs to be change in our lives. We begin to face this feminine wound of our culture, and according to Kidd, this is when women begin their transformation. Then we have to find a direction, an outlet for our new feminine perspective. Patriarchy no longer fits anymore. From a Unitarian Universalist perspective, I believe that many you use, both women and men, have awakened and made a conscious choice to leave an old religion for a new one. And many remain on the path in search of their own search for the sense of the sacred. And it is this similarity or unity of purpose that I am appealing to today. I ask you, how many of us here in this church have read a Bible passage and awakened? I know the answer, right? Maybe your own awakening occurred when you read the tale of Noah and the Ark, for example. Perhaps you began to realize that God in that story committed the equivalent of genocide. Maybe you wondered if it was just for God to take the lives of what may have been millions of men, women, and children, all of whom could not possibly have been utterly evil. Then, if you kept reading, you might have realized that the people that God saved, of course, were not perfect either. Noah was an alcoholic. I have a different word there, but I'll be kind. And cursed his child and his child's descendants to lives of slavery. And you were told to believe, without thinking, that God had done a good thing. It was good for you. That somehow, because you're here now, it's okay. In a moment of conscious thought, this myth is easily exposed, and awakening occurs for so many people. Maybe some of us, on the other hand, awakened when we realized that many passages of the Bible are ignored, such as the prescription not to eat shellfish because it's an abomination, or the prescription not to wear fabrics made of two different fibers. Since that is the case, that passages may be ignored, why can't other passages be ignored, such as the passage proclaiming homosexuality an abomination, or even the passages in Timothy that condemn women to subservience? I'll ask you another question. Once you were awake, how hard was it to change not only yourself, but the society you're working in and living in? So this brings me to the next step in the journey. The next step on the journey to the feminine soul is initiation, which Kidd claims begins for women when we face our feminine wounds and decide to disentangle ourselves from patriarchal institutions. Kidd writes, initiation is a rite of passage, a crossing over, a movement between two worlds. I understand it to be both a physical and mental experience, similar to baptism. It is different for different women. My own initiation came in steps. It wasn't like instant. First, I had to study and learn about ancient religions and cultures. I also learned about the often violent way they were overthrown. I learned that the older cultures had feminine role models. They even had goddesses. The disappearance or silence of goddess figures in our culture disturbed me. It still disturbs me, although less. At the time, I did not understand what all of this would come to mean to me. I only know that after learning, I contemplated following an old religion. Eventually, my husband and I decided to attend a Starhawk ritual. After the spiral dance, my being glowed, not literally on the outside, but rather internally from a truth being set free. Starhawk offered me religion on my terms. It was a step, a huge step, bigger than me. Starhawk's ritual was my initiation into the possibility of an equal position in the world. I no longer saw myself, as Kidd describes, an incapable woman standing on the outside watching a world where everything was focused on a male god, male roles, and male success. Suddenly, there was room for me. I began to see possibilities for my life, my culture unfold. Like Kidd and apparently many other women, as our sense of self took on new feminine spiritual meaning, we learned to reclaim the term goddess. I'm certain that it comes as no surprise to many of the members of this congregation that I have been at this stage of the journey for some time. In keeping with Kidd's process, grounding is the next step on a path of female spirituality. Grounding involves a descent and a rising. For the last 9 years, I've been involved in the process of grounding. Basically, I have been coming to terms with my feminine spirituality. I have faced the male-dominated culture in a variety of ways. My first experiences were jolting. For example, I faced the male-dominated culture squarely when my daughter was being indoctrinated into Christianity at school through mandatory prayer. That experience turned up the heat under my once simmering anger. I remember calling my minister, at that time it was Carol Wolf, and I asked her, how should I respond? I was at a loss for what to do. To totally. My 3-year-old daughter was sitting at the dinner table every evening saying grace to a male God and telling me that is how we're supposed to pray. You can imagine, I didn't know what to say to a 3-year-old. So, I remember Carol telling me to use dignity. So I wrote a dignified letter asking if my daughter could please be omitted from the mandatory prayer at lunchtime. I did not want them to stop their prayer ritual, but I did not want my daughter to have to face her religious difference just yet either. I wasn't ready, if you can imagine that, and I know she wasn't. She was only 3. Later, the teacher confronted me personally. I knew this was coming. She was trying to explain her position, which I saw as a position of dominance, a position from the male majority. I looked her in the eye and paused a very long time, remembering that dignity and letting that anger dissipate. Finally, I said that I wished she could understand what it was like to be a child and to be singled out like that. Families ought to be treated with dignity and have the right to be religious in their own way and not to have their children indoctrinated by others at school. The school directors made the decision to remove mandatory lunchtime prayer, which was not my goal. Thankfully, however, others who have joined the school since then have never had to face the horribleness of that experience. Some have even thanked me who were pagan families and they didn't have to go through that. Unfortunately, my daughter has never forgotten that experience and it colors her perception much like the Book of Timothy colors mine. I cannot say that I have fully come into what Kid refers to as my feminine empowerment. I'm still struggling with some of these things. I still react to the injustices of the male majority with anger, but with dignity. I can only hope that, as Kid proposes, I too can reach the point on my path that I am at home in myself, that I can name my world and claim fully my feminine soul. Perhaps it will become easier for women to possess their own feminine souls when men and women heal the rift that has grown between them in Western culture. This would be a very healthy event. Many theologians are beginning to see the importance of the feminine divine, that there is a deeper level at which she operates, and many now believe that she has been neglected for far too long. According to William G. Deaver, the notion of the wife of the Israelite God has been evident for more than 30 years, but the powers that be in the male-dominated culture have downplayed this knowledge, probably hoping the mainstream never finds out. Several recent works written by both men and women have been authored urging the reclamation of the feminine divine in Judeo-Christianity. Perhaps modern Christianity will allow new books of the Bible to be authored or revision of the old. Although revision of the Bible has been done thousands of times in the past, only time will tell if modern Christians can let go of the old and bring in the new. It is a flawed document and no longer holds much meaning for our modern society. Still, the changes in attitude proposed by Kidd are a breath of fresh air. Perhaps Christians, ignited with feminist passion, will make a difference. It is no accident that a thread of the feminine divine meanders through our postmodern world, a time of the real possibility of earth destruction. Mother Earth is the manifestation of the feminine divine. Her spirit permeates the living and the non-living. We need her healing strength to balance and rebuild the lives of women and men and help heal our struggling world. Christians have only just begun to see the feminine divine as one aspect of their Trinity, the spirit, the creative breath. Kidd points out in her work that our male-dominated society rarely focuses on the biblical passages that refer to her healing strength and wisdom, but they are there. Just imagine what could happen if there were more focus placed on that healing. What I have come to understand is that every path has the feminine divine thread. Through the unity of her spirit, there is hope. Hope for a new sense of cultural balance and hope for newly found inner strength. The good news is that this new sense of hope is helping us all to heal each other and our precious planet. Through her spirit, Earth consciousness is rising. As we increase the value the feminine holds in our world, we in turn also increase the value of Mother Earth. We have already begun to lose the old ideas that Earth is to be raped, her resources used up, that she is inanimate. Instead, we can now see that she is alive and her body is sacred. And as men and women living in symbiosis with her, we are a part of her and sacred as well. We come from her and we return to her. She nourishes us, and in turn, we nourish her. We are interconnected. It makes no difference if your path is humanist, pagan, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, indigenous, or some other faith. The feminine divine abides in each of these, and the beauty of Kidd's work is that it opens the possibility for all of us to come together and heal our world through the caring touch of the goddess. Yes, goddess. It is, as Kidd proposes, after all, just a human term to name that which is in us all. Okay, if you would join me in singing hymn number 21. For the beauty of the earth. Please rise as you are able.
Source of all dew.
Our closing words are adapted from reading number 700 by Robert Marby Doss. For all who see the goddess, may she go with you. For all who embrace life, may life return your affection. For all who seek a right path, may a way be found, and the courage to take it step by step. Go in peace.